Romans chapter 6 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1199, page 1199. We'll be reading just one verse, and then we'll turn to another portion of Scripture and read some more verses. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And as is our custom, shall we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And let's read this verse all together. Joining me, please. Ready? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn now to the book of John, the third chapter. John, the third chapter, page 1117. And starting with verse 11, we'll read through verse 16. The text verses, especially, are verses 15 and 16. We'll begin, however, with verse 11, and we'll read these verses responsively. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And let's pray. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O God. Thank you for this place, this great church. Thank you especially for these good people with whom we gather today. And help us to blend our hearts and our minds in unison as we hear once again thy word preached. Bless our preacher. Bless this, thy precious word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning both everlasting life and eternal life are gifts of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gifts of God are eternal life and everlasting life. The Savior said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, we're admonished to lay hold on eternal life. I want you to listen very, very carefully this morning as I talk to you on that subject. Heavenly Father, be thou, by thy Holy Spirit, in an unusual way in our midst today, as we discuss the great gifts of everlasting life and eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. You say, hold it, preacher. You said the gifts of everlasting life and eternal life? Yes. I said the gifts of everlasting life and eternal life. The gift of everlasting life and the gift of eternal life. There are two words in the Greek language. They are sometimes interchanged, but there are two words in the Greek language, one for eternal and the other for everlasting. Then what we know what everlasting life is. It endures forever. What then is eternal life? Just what is eternal life? May I say this, and if you listen very, very carefully, you'll get the picture. When a person receives Christ as his Savior, not when he joins a church, not when he's baptized, not when he takes communion, not when he's confirmed, not when he confesses his sins to a priest, not when he takes the holy sacrament, but when he, in believing faith, receives Christ as his Savior, God gives him immediately, and he is an immediate possessor of everlasting life. Now listen carefully. Though he has a gift of everlasting life, he does not necessarily possess eternal life. For everlasting life is a quantity of life, and eternal life is a quality of life. God, when a person receives his Son, gives to that person everlasting life, and he possesses life everlasting. At that same time of salvation, God makes available to that person who is a recipient of everlasting life the gift of eternal life. Now, the gift of everlasting life is taken once and for all when you receive Christ as Savior. And the gift of eternal life is made available. But eternal life being a quantity, a quality of life, everlasting life being a quantity of life, that means that eternal life is a gift, but it's only made available at the acceptance of everlasting life. Now, if you listen carefully, I think I can clear up the fog that is in your mind. You say, preacher, what is eternal life then? May I say this morning, briefly and yet emphatically, what eternal life is? Eternal life, number one, is an always will be life. That means that everlasting life is in eternal life. For in this eternal life, there is the everlasting life. So eternal life is and always will be life. That means that the life that beats in my breast this morning always will be there. I shall never perish. I have this morning the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that is forever. When the kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of my Lord, the life that God gave me when I was a little lad, just a month from 11 years of age, will still exist. And when nations have crumbled, and flags have faded, and kings have been deposited in the garbage can of the history of human wicked nations, and when the Hitler's memories are no more, and when the worlds have dissolved, and the stars in their courses have fallen like untimely figs, I will still be alive. I will not die. That that beats in my breast this morning is an always will be life. Secondly, not only is eternal life an always will be life, but eternal life is an always was life. You see, I always was in Christ. The Bible says I was crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Turn this down just a tad. Just a tad, please. It is an always was life. I always was in Christ. Now, hear me carefully. God, who lives in eternity and not in time, by His foreknowledge, looking down into time, God from His perch on eternity, looking down to time, God saw that in August 1937, a little ghetto-bound boy would receive Christ as his Savior. And God, looking through eternity into time, God knew I would trust Him.
And so before I was ever born, before the foundations of the world were ever laid, before there was ever a star in the sky, before there was ever a planet in the heavens, before there was ever a tree in the forest, before there was ever a drop of water in the ocean, before there was ever a bird to sing in the sky, before there was ever a beast to roam the field, before there was ever a flower to bloom in the spring, I already live in Christ. I was in Christ. And before the always was life came into me, and by His foreknowledge, God justified me. By His foreknowledge, God glorified me. By His foreknowledge, God even resurrected me from the dead in His own mind. That which always was begat me, the Word of God. He who always was came into me, the Son of God. He who always was justified me, the Father God. Let me say, talk about falling from grace. That's the biggest bunch of poppycock I ever heard of. But if it's grace, you can't fall. You could fall from good works, but you can't fall from grace. Because God, because of His mighty grace, looked down to eternity into time, and God saw that I would receive Christ and be eternity. God saved me, and God justified me, and God glorified me, and God resurrected me. It is an always was life. What is eternal life? Are you listening? In the first place, it is an always will be life. Number two, it is an always was life. Number three, eternal life is an always is life. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. The Father told Moses to go to Pharaoh and to let my people go and to announce the I am hath sent me. It is an always is life. But that isn't all. Eternal life is a full life. Let me illustrate. Let me describe it. Eternal life is all the good that life can give made available to me. It is the life of God Himself. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, everlasting life is duration, a quantity, but eternal life is a quality. It is Christ in me. It is the nature of God Almighty in me. And it is a full life. What is eternal life? It is an always will be life. It is an always was life. It is an always is life. It is a full life. It is life fulfilling totally the purpose of God in one's life. It is joy at its fullest. It is peace at its calmest. It is love at its deepest. It is grace at its richest. It is victory at its highest. It is power at its greatest. Yes, when I got saved, I got everlasting life, but I also got eternal life, the life that beats in the breast of Almighty God. That life beats in the breast of this man who stands before you today. I have received as a gift from God, rich, full, abounding, overflowing, eternal life as a gift from God Almighty. It is a life that Jesus had with the Father when He spoke in John 17, verse 5, asking the Father to restore unto Him the joy that He had with Christ, with the Father, to the Father before the world was. He was talking about that kind of fellowship, unbroken fellowship. That is what I have in eternal life. It is a life that must be received every day. Now, wait a minute. You receive eternal, everlasting life once and for all. But you receive eternal life every day. Now, everlasting life is accepted once and for all, and it's not by your works. It is not by your deeds. It is a gift of God. But eternal life is likewise a gift of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And every time you get out of bed at the sunrise in the morning, God looks at you and says, I have another gift for you today. I have the gift of eternal life. You can accept that gift and live in eternity, or you can refuse that gift and live like the base animals of the world live. I look out this morning, and I see people who are not my people. I see people who are not members of this church. I see people, I'm sure, whose names are not written in heaven. And my heart hurts today. I wish you knew what it is to know you will never die. I wish you knew what it's like to know that you're bound for the promised land. I wish you knew what it's like to know that your name is written in heaven. I wish you knew what it's like to know of the land of the unclouded day, the land where we'll never grow old. I wish you knew about the land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And I say this morning to all of you that have never accepted Christ as your Savior, I hurt for you. I long for you to accept, not because you take communion, and not because you join a church, and not because you're baptized. God does not offer you a bargain today. God offers you a gift today. God doesn't have a sale on everlasting life. He has a gift of everlasting life. But then I look at others and I feel just as compassionate and burdened for you. I look at hundreds of people whose names are on the roll of First Baptist Church of Hammond who have everlasting life, but you're not a possessor this morning of eternal life. You're living like the animals of the field live. You live for the eating and drinking and buying and selling and giving in marriage and you live for the temporal. There's something high and holy. And God comes to everyone this morning who by faith has received the gift of everlasting life. And God says, now, let me give you, while you're on your way to heaven, let me give you eternal life, full life, rich life, spiritual life. That's what the apostle, that's what the Holy Spirit meant when He said, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on this book. Lay hold on your knees in fellowship and prayer with God. Lay hold on soul winning. Lay hold on that which lives forever. How I long for our people to have eternal life. How I long for you to get out of the physical, base, temporal life into eternal life. It's also a gift of God. It is all, hear me now, eternal life is all that God is. Hear me? It is all that God is. It is all that God has made available to you and to me daily. As a gift. You say, preacher, not only can I live forever, but I can have God's life in me. Yes, that's right. Not only can I live forever with everlasting life, but I can live a rich, abundant spiritual life that's above the world. Oh, yes, you can. You may. You say, good, this rich life. By the way, that's what the whole world's looking for. That's what Mr. Johnson had in mind when he talked about the Great Society. That's what Mr. Kennedy had in mind, talked about the New Frontiers. That's what Mr. Roosevelt had in mind when he talked about the New Deal. Man is looking for that life, but you don't get it by joining the union and having a strike for more money. You don't get it by better wages or getting a bigger check from Washington because you're too lazy to work. You don't get it that way. You get it as a gift from God Almighty. As God says, I'd like to give to those who have received everlasting life, eternal life. That you may have on your way to everlasting life, you may have a present possession called eternal life. You say, wonderful. I'd like to have this eternal life. How do I earn it? Now listen to me for a minute. I look back and see Dr. Streeter here this morning. He'll vouch for this. There are people that pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to get one more year of life. One more year. Why, that man that had surgery, a heart transplant, mechanical transplant, can live for how long? 12 days? 10 days. I wonder how much, Doc, that cost him. I wonder what the price was. For 10 more days, men spend millions of dollars for 5 years. Pray tell me, what would it cost to live forever? You insult Almighty God when you talk about earning eternal life. You insult God. You talk about earning it. If you were God, would you sell eternal life for a cup of juice, drunk once a month? If you were God, would you sell eternal life for a wet body in a baptismal pool? If you were God, would you sell eternal life for having some ashes placed on your head on Ash Thursday? If you were God, would you sell eternal life for a confessional booth, a few sins confessed, had a confessional booth, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. There's nothing you could do or have that could purchase eternal life. So God says, it's free or you don't get it. I started to call this sermon this morning, "You have to work not to get it." You have to work not to get it. You work, you don't get it. Because the only wages God has are the wages of death. The gift that God has is the gift of eternal life. So you work, you get what you work for. You take it, you get what was given to you. God says, "I got two things I'll give you, death or life. If you work for either one, you get death, because I only have one thing, I've given wages, that's death. But I have a gift, and that's everlasting life. You live forever." But look, folks, let me ask you a question. Would you want to live forever just like you're living now? If all God has is just an endurance, man, I tell you what, I'd just soon go on and get out of here as to have what I've got now forever. I'm saying God comes along and says, "Here's everlasting life. You'll never die, but that isn't all." He says, "While you have everlasting life, I'll give you a rich life, and you can have eternal life made available to you, and you accept eternal life by grace through faith as a gift, just like you got everlasting life." Try it on clothing store. Go down to Joe Hurst Clothers sometime and say, "I want a suit of clothes." They try it on, put it in a box, and you drink a glass of juice and walk out with it and see if they'll accept that as payment. Go down to Cadillac agency and buy a Cadillac that way. Say, "I want to buy a Cadillac. What you going to pay? I'll eat a piece of bread about that big for it." You think God's dumber than a Cadillac dealer? It's an insult! It's an insult to Almighty God! Think that man could have something or do something deserving something so great and rich as eternal life. And how do you get it? It's free. At regeneration, you get everlasting life and the availability of eternal life. But every day, you receive eternal life as a gift of God, just like you receive everlasting life as a gift of God. I look out this morning and see those who are unsaved, and I say, "I plead with you, come to Christ and receive His gift of everlasting life. You don't earn it. There's nothing you can do to get it. You can't confess to get it. You can't get baptized to get it. You can't join a church to get it. You can't turn over a new leaf to get it. You can't take communion to get it. You can't take the sacraments to get it. It's free. Take it. God wants to give it to you." But then I come this morning to those of you that have everlasting life, but living a little paltry, fleshly kind of a carnal life here in this earth, and I come to you and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, there's more to life than watching the box in the afternoon and soap operas, and there's more to life than your beer drinking, and more to life than your immorality, and more to life than your indecency, and more to life than your movie houses and rock music and the garbage and the trash of a heathen world. God says, rise above the world and live my kind of a life. I give eternal life to you." I get a little tired. You heard me saying, I get a little tired of going to Christian bookstore and seeing all these books on how to get peace. 75 ways to get peace. I can tell you how to get it. Take it.
Jesus said, "My peace give I unto you." It's a part of eternal life.
How do I get joy? Take it.
It's a part of eternal life.
How do I get contentment? You take it.
It's a part of eternal life.
How do I get wisdom? You take it.
It's a part of eternal life. You know what's wrong with fundamentalism? We're preaching the gospel of everlasting life, but not preaching the gospel of eternal life. I guess I've emphasized more in the last few weeks than I have in any weeks in my ministry. Live in this book. Live in this book. Pick up your little magazine, your little sport magazine. I'm not against them. I read them myself. But brother, every one line I read, as we on the sport page, I read 100 pages in that book. Why in the world would you put an eternal book over here that has eternity? Why would you put it over here and temporal literature over here? Turn it on a box. I sometimes would like to get a hand axe and chop them all up. Turn on a box at night and watch adultery brought into your living room or your family room and have liquor brought into your family room and has smoking and cursing and gambling and filth. Rise above it. God says, "I'll give you eternal life if you'll take it. It's yours. You can have it." But all you're interested in is just barely getting out of hell and going to heaven. You've got everlasting life, so now wallow in the world. But God says, "I've got another life for you. In everlasting life, I've given you the quantity. Now in eternal life, I'd like to give you the quality." He comes this morning and says to those of you who've never received Him, "Believe on me as your Savior and take my gift of everlasting life." He comes to those of you this morning who've done that already and says, "Now receive my gift, free gift of eternal life." Let me explain. Hear me carefully. Number one, God offers you once and for all everlasting life. Now listen to me. It's against the nature of man to think he can't earn it. Man is proud. He does not want to admit that there's nothing he can do. So he organizes something he can join to try to get it. You can't get it. The wages of sin is death. You say, "Well, what is sin?" Sin is trying to get eternal life or everlasting life any other way than a gift. That's what sin is. Sin is refusing the gift. Of sin, because he convicted of sin, because they believe not on him, the Savior said. Sin is refusing Christ. Sin is not accepting the gift. A fellow walks up to you and says, "You come to our church," and I was in Cincinnati, Ohio area several years ago. A fellow sitting there with his cross around, his beads on, and his obvious clerical garb. I was in the lobby there, didn't have a Bible, just down the lobby getting a paper or something. Walked up to him and I said, "Sir, you're a man of the cloth, I see." He said, "Yes." I said, "You're a reverend." He said, "Yes." I said, "I'd like to know how I can go to heaven when I die. I want to know." He looked at me and he said, "Well, you've got to do good." And I let me write that down. I've got to do good. Write that down because I don't want to miss it. "Now, sir, don't you lie to me now, because I want to go to heaven. I do good." "Okay," I said. "Now, sir," I said, "what is the good I've got to do?" "Well," he said, "you've got to be a good neighbor." "Okay," I write that down. "Sir, don't lie to me now. I don't want to miss it. Be good to neighbor." I said, "What else, sir, do I have to do? What are the good?" "You've got to pay your debts." "Okay, I'll pay my debts." I said, "Now give me the other good." "But he said you got to do a whole lot of good." I said, "What other good?" "What he said is a lot of it." I said, "Sir, I want to go to heaven when I die, and I want to know, and you're a man of the cloth, and you say that you know God. Tell me, how can I go to heaven?" "Well," he said, "you got to do real good." And I said, "Why don't you admit you're a fake?" I said, "Here I am." I said, "The truth is, I'm going to heaven, and I know it. But," I said, "if a stranger had walked up not going to heaven and asked you how to go to heaven, you couldn't even tell him. You don't even know how to go to heaven. You can't give me something I can do to go to heaven." That's the wages of sin. I said, now the honest, simple truth is, sir, if you'd quit trusting your church and your confession, your confirmation, and you'd get on your knees right here in the lobby of this motel and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm lost, and I know Jesus paid the penalty for my sin, and I receive Him now, and I trust Him, and Him alone, and not my church, and not my Pope, and not my confirmation. I just trust Him alone. I said, you could be saved right now, and know you go. And next time somebody walked up, you could tell them how to go to heaven when they, if they wanted to know. Now you listen to me. That's everlasting life. God offers you once and for all everlasting life. He offers you daily eternal life. Both are gifts. You take the gift of everlasting life once and for all. You take the gift of eternal life daily as you come and live the rich, full, abundant, abounding life, overflowing life that God offers you, the quality of life in Christ Jesus. Only one wage, and that's death. Only one gift, and that's eternal life. You work to get life, and you get death. Working for life is what sin is all about. But when you quit your working and cease from your labor, and you say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know You died for me on the cross and paid the penalty for my sin. I don't understand all of it, but I understand I'm a sinner and You're a Savior. I receive Your gift of everlasting life. And brother, that settles it. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. But once He gives you the gift of everlasting life, He then takes out something else and says, I got something else you can have. What is it, dear Jesus? I have everlasting life. What is it now that I can have? He said, I have eternal life. You can lay hold on it every day, this rich and full and fulfilling life. May I quit preaching and testify? I do not know when in all my life I've felt like testifying as I do have recently. I don't know how many times I just want to burst in lifting my hand to God and say, glory be to God. May I testify? My sermon is over. May I just testify? I'm 58 years of age. I have the usual pains and aches of 58. I have arthritis, only one place between the top of my head and the bottom of my feet. That's the only place I have it. I get up with the numbers. I sit down with the numbers. I'm not brilliant, but I can subtract. And I know that 58 from 70 is not many. I'm not going to face how many. I also know that 58 from 60, and I also know that I'm only May, June, July, I'm only 5 months from 59. And 59 from 60 is one. I understand that. But may I tell you, the peace and contentment and joy that comes from knowing that I'll never die. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Glory to God.
Why? Because a little poor ghetto-bound kid one day said, I'll take it, Jesus, I'll take it.
And God gave me life everlasting. But may I testify secondly? I do not claim to be a good Christian, but I work at it. I do read this book, and I read it hour upon hour upon hour every week of my life. I don't pray as I should, but I spend 10 to 20 hours a week of my life walking with God and praying and pleading and fellowshipping and meditating and praising and worshiping. I long, I hurt on the inside for my people who are living on the earth. So you're going to heaven when you die. There's much more to it than that. And how marvelous it is. And how wonderful it is to have the rich eternal life. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. God's Holy Spirit walks up and down these aisles this morning and says, I've got everlasting life. What does it cost me? Take it. It's a gift. And you take it and say, Lord, does that mean I'll never die? That means you'll never die. Does that mean I'll live forever? That means you'll live forever. The Lord says, hold it. Don't leave yet. Got something else for you. You mean a gift? Besides everlasting life? Yeah. I got something else for you too. What is it? Eternal life. What's the difference? Everlasting decides how long it is. Eternal decides what kind it is. And not only will I give you life that'll never end, but I'll give you life that's full and rich and spiritual while you live the life that'll never end. And that's what the Savior meant when He inspired the apostle through the Holy Spirit to write. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for those today who've never received the gift of everlasting life. May this be the morning when they take it as a gift.